First Peter chapter 4. As we've been making our way through First Peter, it's become very apparent that the recipients of this letter, they were suffering Christians. They were Christians who were being persecuted just simply because they were Christians. In chapter 1, Peter, he spoke of their being distressed by various trials. And at that particular point, he doesn't express exactly what kind of trials they were experiencing. But it becomes very apparent as the letter progresses. In chapter 2, he speaks of their being slandered. In chapter 3, it speaks of suffering for the sake of righteousness and that they weren't to fear their intimidations. He further speaks of being slandered and reviled for their good behavior in Christ Jesus, and they were suffering for doing what was right. In chapter 4, we are told that we are to arm ourselves. That is, we are to prepare ourselves to suffer. And then Peter, he speaks of how those who receive this letter, how they were being maligned by their former friends. From verse 12 to the end of the chapter, Peter, he talks about suffering persecution. He tells us that we're not to be surprised when it comes upon us, that we're actually to rejoice when we suffer for Jesus' sake, that we're blessed when we suffer for Christ. It's God's will that we suffer for Christ, and that while suffering, we're to entrust our souls to our Creator. The final encouragement that we're given is found in chapter 5, where he says in verse 10, "After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." So I would like to read here from chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. And I'm going to read to the end of the chapter. So he says at verse 12, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery deals among you, which comes upon you for your testing as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you were reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed. But in that name, let him glorify God. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous are saved, what would become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, let those also who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right." Well, notice once again verses 13 and 14. He says, "But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." That expression there, sharing in the sufferings of Christ, the word share is the Greek word that we're all very familiar with, as koinonia. It means fellowship. It means to share along with or to take part in. Now, obviously, Peter's not speaking here of sharing in the vicarious sufferings of Christ in a redemptive sense. Only Jesus could do that. But to share in the sufferings of Christ is to suffer because of Christ. To suffer because you're identifying with Christ, because you're living for Christ. To suffer because you're striving to live like Christ. It's suffering for the sake of righteousness. And the world actually doesn't like that. He said back in chapter 3, verse 17, "For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right, rather than for doing what is wrong." And then Peter, he immediately goes on to speak of Christ suffering for us. The Lord Jesus, he suffered for us as he did the will of the Father, and we're going to suffer for the exact same reason, for doing the will of our Father. Several scriptures use very similar language as Peter uses here to talk about the suffering of Christ and suffering with him. 2 Corinthians 4:10, Paul said, "Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body." He said to the Philippian church, "For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." He said again to the Philippians, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death." Paul said to the Colossians church, "Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of the body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's affliction." We shouldn't be surprised when these trials come upon us for the sake of Christ, because Jesus told us it's going to be that way. He said so many a time, even the night in which he was betrayed, he said in John 15, he says, "Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me." They persecuted the Lord Jesus because he spoke the truth and because he lived righteously. They crucified him for it. He's telling us here the world that persecuted him will also persecute his followers, and they'll do so for the same reason. Now notice once again here verse 14. I'm going to read the verse 16. He said, "If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. By no means don't let anyone suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God." The name Christian, suffer as a Christian, when that was originally labeled on Christians, it was a derogatory term. In verse 14, it tells us that if we are reviled for the name of Christ, we're blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon us. That expression, the Spirit of glory and of God resting upon us, that might remind you of when the ark was brought to Solomon's temple. And remember, the Shekinah glory just absolutely filled the temple. Well, he's telling us here, now the Spirit of glory fills the Christian. Not in the same way, but it's God's glory. Such glory is seen by others when they see Christ in us. They see that we're living like Christ, that we represent Christ. And there's the glory of the Spirit being seen in us. That's why the world will persecute Christians. It's because they don't like Jesus. They don't like God. And just as they were opposed to Christ and crucified him when they had the opportunity to do so, so they don't like Christians. It says here in verse 13, "But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation." What he's telling us here is when you're rejected by others because you're a Christian, you're sharing in the sufferings of Christ, and you ought to rejoice because you get to do that. It means when you're laughed at or ridiculed, or when coworkers think you're weird because you're a Christian and live like it, you're sharing in the sufferings of Christ. When others lie about you and slander you, you're sharing in the sufferings of Christ. They did exactly the same thing to him. When others resent you because you seek to share the gospel with them, you're showing them the love of Christ and they resent it. You're sharing in the love of Christ. You're sharing in his suffering. And when your heart is burdened for the lost, and when your heart is broken over lost loved ones, you are then sharing in the sufferings of Christ. Remember how he wept, he burst into tears when he beheld Jerusalem in their lost condition. We should remember that in other countries, Christians are suffering far, far, far greater afflictions than the little things that I've mentioned here for us. Their faith is forbidden. Assembling as a church like we're doing today, that's forbidden. It's against the law. And even today, Christians will be tortured. They're languishing in prisons. Home and churches are being torched. And Christians are being put to death just because they belong to the Lord Jesus. They're sharing in the sufferings of Christ. Well, he tells us here, when we suffer for doing what is right, we're to rejoice. He says in verse 13, to the degree that you share in the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. Do you realize that the cross and the sufferings of Christ has actually transformed how we view suffering? We can suffer for our Savior's glory. If we suffer for Christ's sake, it means we're identifying with him. And what greater honor could be bestowed upon us than to identify with the Lord Jesus? It's very interesting that it's Peter who is telling us that we're to rejoice when called upon to suffer for Jesus' sake. Remember, it was Peter who took the Lord Jesus himself to task when Jesus spoke of his own suffering. This is what we read in Matthew 16. It says, from that time on, Jesus Christ, he began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, for you're not setting your mind on God's interest, but on man's. But now as we read his epistle, we see that now Peter, he has the mind of Christ, and now he is putting his mind on God's interest. We're to rejoice when given the opportunity to suffer for Jesus' sake. We actually see the apostles doing that, and that includes Peter in Acts chapter 5, that they actually rejoice because they considered it an honor to suffer for Jesus. It says in Acts chapter 5, after calling the apostles in, this is the Sanhedrin, they flogged them and ordered them to speak no more in the name of Jesus, and then they released them. And so they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his sake. They weren't feeling sorry for themselves, even though after being flogged, they must have been in tremendous pain. They were rejoicing because they were able to identify with Jesus. The Lord Jesus, he suffered for us beyond anything that we can imagine. And we should rejoice when given the privilege and the honor to suffer for him. And we will suffer for him when our lives show that we're living for him. This is how Paul saw suffering. He said in Philippians 3, that I may know him, the power of the resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Albert Barnes, he says this, the fellowship of his suffering, that I may participate in the same kind of sufferings that he endured. That is, that I may in all things be identified with him. Paul wished to be just like his Savior. He felt that it was an honor to live as he did, to evince the spirit that he did, and to suffer in the same manner. All that Christ did and suffered was glorious in his view, and he wished in all things to resemble him. He did not desire merely to share his honor and triumphs in heaven, but regarding his whole work as being glorious. He wished to be wholly conformed to that, and as far as possible, to be just like Christ. Many are willing to reign with Christ, although they would not be willing to suffer with him. Many would be willing to wear the crown of glory like him, but not the crown of thorns. Many would be willing to put on the robes of splendor, which would be worn in heaven, but not the scarlet robe of contempt and mockery. They would desire to share the glories and the triumphs of redemption, but not its poverty and contempt and persecution. Well, this was not the feeling of Paul. He wished in all things to be just like Christ, and hence he counted it an honor to be persecuted and to be permitted to suffer as Jesus suffered. Well, we're to live in the shadow of the cross, and as we do so, that'll actually determine how we view suffering that the Lord calls upon us to endure. Jesus suffered for us. We're remembering that this morning. And it is our very great honor to be called upon to suffer for him. And that brings glory to the Lord Jesus. Well, may we remember this when we're called upon to suffer for Jesus' sake. Well, let's turn in our hymnals now to 547.